Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Bet River Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Keep it locked with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Welcome in, and we have had, Mr. Issel, an excellent conversation with our old teammate, Artis Gilmore.
He's the best. He was so intimidating. Remember, when he first came to the Colonels, first of all, he had that huge afro. I mean, he's 7'2" to start with. That made him about 7'6". And I'm not so sure he didn't wear platform shoes from time to time. But his waist was almost the size of his thighs.
Yep.
And just
intimidating.
Unbelievable. Yeah, intimidating. And kind of scary because he always had that scowl on his face. And then you get to know him, and he is the nicest guy in the world.
He's a teddy bear. That's what
soft-spoken.
I tell everybody.
Yeah.
And if you got to know him back in those days with all the issues we had in this world, once you got to know him and became a friend, you know, I mean, he was just like, he was a jokester. He would laugh and, you know, I mean, he was, but that face he had, game face.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask him, who was the best big man in the ABA or the toughest big man outside of you in practice that he played against? I didn't have the chance.
See, that's what, and believe me, yesterday Hubie was talking about what really got us over the hump as far as the championship was concerned was our defense. Well, you know, Louie and I couldn't guard our shadows, but we had Artis in the middle, Wilbur Jones, and then coming off the bench would be Gene Littles and Ted McLean. And we just, with that lineup, we just shut people down because they couldn't get to the hoop against A.
Well, I talked to Gene about that on numerous occasions when I was his assistant with the Hornets. And we talked about the defense and what you could do with an eraser back there, like Artis Gilmore. And those two guys could press out and go for steals and do a lot of things. And not worry about staying between the ball and the basket, which is so hard for college guys now, and maybe even NBA guys too. But they had the eraser back there.
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Back there, so.
We were playing a game in Virginia, and against the Squires, and I was sick as a dog, and had the flu or food poisoning or something. And so I'm back at the hotel, and the game is the rest of the team leaves for the game. Well, I get a call from Lloyd Gardner. He said, and now Charlie Scott had just jumped from Virginia to Phoenix, had jumped to the NBA, and everybody on our team was scared to death that Artis was going to be the next guy. And so he said, he calls me and he says, you have to come down here. He said, I know you're sick, but you have to put on a uniform and sit on the bench so we have enough players because we can't find Artis. And Pierre Russell was his roommate on the road. And so I said, I don't know if I can do that, Lloyd. But I get dressed. I go up to the elevator. And as I'm walking up to the elevator, here comes Artis and Pierre walking up. Now, the whole team is there, taped, ready to play. And so what had happened was the hotel or motel had put Pierre and Artis in a different room. And so they didn't get a wake-up call, and Lloyd kept calling the room that he thought they were in. But so I turned right around and went back to bed. But everybody was scared to death that Big A had jumped ship.
And everybody's scared that this guy's going to jump ship on us today, Dan. We have Coach Dennis Emery, New Albany, Indiana native, and the guy that really jump-started the tennis program at Kentucky. Coach Emery, how are you?
Good, Mike. How are you guys?
Well, we're just telling a bunch of lies, and Artis helped us along. We had a great conversation with our old teammate, Artis Gilmore, but I wanted to bring you in and talk about some things, starting with Kentucky's got the number one ranked singles player, Liam Drexel, and in the country. And you've had a number one in your coaching career and had a couple number twos. So who else to talk about what that really means right now? How good is this young fella?
Well, you know, it's interesting. He plays different than the guys that I had who were ranked number one. I had Cedric Kaufman for a while, who's the current coach, who was ranked number one. He played for me for 4 years. And then I had Jesse Witten for 4 years. Drexel's, Liam's very much a player like Leighton Hewitt for people who follow, you know, pro tennis. You know, he's kind of a counterpuncher who's learning how to come forward. You know, really the sky's the limit. He was a top 10 junior in the world and decided he wanted to come to college. And so, you know, we were lucky enough to get him, but he's a real fun to watch because he's so fast. And he has a real good understanding of the game. Witten had a really good understanding of the game, but had a bigger forehand. You know, was more of a puncher than Drexel is. And then Quigley, who's from right there, you know, in Louisville from Pee Wee Valley, got up to number two in the country and was the NCAA finalist. And he played a completely different game. You know, he was just a very aggressive player who liked to come forward all the time.
Dennis, you're the one who is responsible for building this tennis program at Kentucky to what it has become, and your former success has to be a big part of getting these young men to Lexington now.
Well, I'd like to think so, The truth is, you know, Cedric, who's the coach, played for me for 4 years, and then he was my assistant for 8 years. And, you know, we've maintained always a very close relationship. We were, after his first year, when we kind of pushed back at each other a little bit, after that first year, we became a very close coach-player tandem, and that's why I thought he would be so good at taking what we did and building on it. And it's worked out that way. This is his ninth year as the head coach, which I find a little hard to believe, you know, when I recruited him as a player when he was 18 years old. So
now Drexel, he's from Canada, right?
Yes. Yes. He's Canadian. We've had, we had another Canadian player who played for me, who ended up being a Davis Cup hero for Canada. His name was Bruno Agostinelli, and he got up to number two in the rankings in 2009. And it's an interesting story in that Bruno retired early and was tragically killed in a motorcycle accident. But before that happened, he was the national coach for Canada, and he coached –
We got a call that was fumbled with a tennis coach. A fumble with the tennis coach.
He hit the net. Now, are they? I'm not familiar with when the season of tennis takes place. Are they? Has this young man?
Typically, it would be coming up, but with COVID, I don't know. When we get Coach Emery back, we'll ask him about that.
Okay,
because I don't know everything. As you know, everything's been moved around, backed up. Yeah. You were talking about the Hall of Fame.
You've known Dennis for a long time. I just recently, the last couple of years, got to know him, but he now works as a fundraiser at UK. I asked him why he retired, but he was there for a long time and very
20 years.
Very successful.
I think so, 20 years, but yeah, he's probably got a 20-year-old telephone. Do we have Coach Emery back?
Yes.
Look,
I'm back.
We've got to find a way to get you a better telephone.
Dennis, you got to pay your bill. That's the problem.
I'm sorry.
Here's the question. Dan and I were talking about while you were floating in the atmosphere with your phone.
Okay.
Typically, we're moving toward a time where the SEC would have their tennis tournament. Correct?
Yes.
Is that still on?
It is still on. They're gonna. It's usually a Thursday through, a Thursday through a Sunday, and they moved it up this year, so it's going to start on Monday. And the reason why they did that was that gives them 2 weeks between the SEC final on Friday and the start of the NCAA tournament. So if there's any COVID problems that happen at the SEC tournament, it gives them 2 weeks to get rid of them, so nobody gets dinged at the NCAAs.
Then how does that set up? How many people will be participating in the NCAA championships?
Well, there's two tournaments. There's the team tournament, which is held first. It's like 5 or 6 days in there. I don't know how they'll change the format because of COVID, but there's the team tournament, and 64 teams get into that. Our men's team's currently ranked 14th in the country. Our women's team is ranked, I think, 28th right now. So both of them are, comfortably in the field. And then after that tournament ends, they have the individual tournament. And so it just follows immediately the day after the final. There's 64 singles players that get into that tournament. The rankings are kind of a mess, a little bit of a mess down low in the rankings, not necessarily at number one or two, but down low they're a mess because, some of these conferences haven't gotten to play, and some of these mid-major conferences haven't gotten to play as much as they should have.
Now, when you coach, and I want to talk about the power shift in the SEC, it was when you coach, you had Georgia was on a roll. I believe Florida was on the roll, weren't they?
Mike, and I mean, in all honesty, when I coached, it seemed like everybody was on a roll. There was one year we won the SEC, and five of the teams were top 10 in the country.
Wow.
There was one year where we actually finished fifth in the country, and we were the fifth seed in the SEC tournament and had to play the out bracket match. And, so that makes you, that makes you sit up and take notice a little bit. Because what happened was we tied for third, and when they broke the ties, we were fifth. But, there's been a real shift, in the time that I coached. The West Coast teams were just complete powerhouses. And we were really good, but we were always a little bit behind the really good Stanford teams that had, John McEnroe and those type of players. And John McEnroe's brother Patrick McEnroe, David Wheaton, those guys are all top 10 in the world in singles or doubles. So, but it's kind of gone away from that now. It's the ACC's become more of a power. When I was coaching, obviously the SEC was a power, and this year, the SEC's kind of come back as a power, a little COVID related, I'm sure, but it's back a little bit.
Where will this Wildcat team be seated in the upcoming SEC tournament, do you think?
Well, I think there's one match left to play. They took a week and did these COVID makeup matches, but it seems like we're going to be seated fifth. There was a four-way tie for fourth, and when they break that tie, I think Texas A&M's fourth, we're fifth, and then the other two teams are sixth and seventh, South Carolina and Ole Miss are sixth and seventh.
Now, will Liam have to win the SEC championship to be would he then be the number one seed in the NCAA tournament?
No, they just have those rankings that they put out every. Well, now they put them out every week. So, you know, he's got a nice little cushion there when you look at it. He's got a 5 or 6 point cushion. So he could lose a couple and still be number one going into the NCAAs. As you guys know, you know, you've coached and everything, and maybe it's different in pro basketball, but you can be ranked number one and you have something like COVID happen, and then those guys go into a room and say, hey, we've changed the criteria. So the only way I think he won't be the number one seed going in is if, you know, they go into a room with nobody around and say, we've changed the criteria and this is now the number one seed in the tournament.
So assuming that they don't make the changes you were talking about due to COVID, the number one seed in the NCAA, does he draw, like basketball, the number 64? To open, or whatever that number is?
No, you know, actually, the number one seed, they'll seed 16 players.
16, okay.
And those 16 players are the reason that's important, way more important than being seeded in the draw, is those 16 players are named All-American. So, you know, Liam will be an All-American almost for sure. And then if you're the number one seed, you could play the number 17 guy in the first round. And, you know, it's remarkable how many times the number one seed draws somebody, you know, ranked 17 to 20 or 22 in the first round. It's almost eerie. The way that happens, it almost seems like a setup, but, you know, it isn't. It's just done on a computer.
Before we let you go, we want you to try to help us get Coach Kaufman on right before the SEC tournament starts, or the NCAA, whatever his schedule is. If you would assist us on that, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, he'll want to do it. He knows all about you guys.
Well, he ought to. You coached him. I mean, he ought to do anything. I mean, you made him. You didn't spoil him. Come on now.
Well, yeah.
Dennis, we really appreciate your time. Good luck to Liam, and we're glad to get this information. We'll be watching that young man.
That's great. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks, Coach. Across the river, New Albany, Indiana.
Is that where Dennis is from?
Yep.
Yeah, he's had some great tennis players at UK, and I think they're just one of the last sporting venues at UK to be, you know, they're working on Rupp Arena. Of course, that's not a UK venue, but you know, the football stadium is great. The new baseball stadium is unbelievable.
And the softball
stadium. Yeah, and soccer. But the last venue that they're working on, I think now Dennis has raised enough money to either rebuild or renovate the current UK tennis facility. So that'll be great.
Let's go back to Artis and the big men in the ABA that you face and Artis face. He faced different people. Of course, defensively, he's picking everybody up that blew by you, right? But who do you think in that league at that time, which was guard dominated?
Yeah.
I mean, Artis kind of turned it around, but there were some other good big guys.
Yeah, no question. His biggest nemesis was Mel Daniels with the Pacers. Mel had all the tricks in the book. He knew when to hold your shorts. He knew when to give you the elbow in the chest when nobody was looking. Mel had, in addition to being a great player, he had all the tricks. And some of those battles that he and Artis had were legendary. And, you know, in practice, I had to guard Artis because I was the only guy out on the floor that was big enough to, you know, even give him a tussle. Of course, it wasn't much of a tussle, but
that would have been a good battle to have.
I was a starting forward when we played the games. In practice, I was the second team center, which wasn't a lot of fun, I can tell you that.
Well, Mel Daniels was such a nice guy, and when he was scouting – for the Pacers. He stayed with the Pacers in various jobs. I think he even was one of Slick's assistants for a few years. Then he got on the road and scouted. So back before they renovated the whole area at Rupp to create different spaces that they could use and in different media spaces, all of this kind of ran together. They had a big area where they fed the media, and the media would sit around, and they had all the press information out. And then right next to it, Dan, they had, and I don't know if you were ever in this, was the media room. Post-game, pre-game stuff would go on. They just pulled the curtains around, and that's where the media went. But I always enjoyed, I'd walk in, and Mel would be there. We'd be sitting at a table, had a cup of coffee or Coke or something, and he either was eating or just finished. And I would go get a hot dog or whatever it was, and I'd hear this big booming voice, "Mike Pratt, what are you doing here?" And he always said, "What are you doing?" He knew what I was doing. And I'd look back there, and I knew it was Mel, okay? And I'd go sit with him, and we would talk and talk and talk, and just such a wonderful guy.
Yeah, and a great player, and of course, a huge part of those three ABA championships that they had with the Pacers. And unfortunately for his career, wound up a member of the Baltimore Claws.
I'm telling you, Dan, we've got to find somebody that'll make us up. Assuming you can use the logo, most people, 99.9% of the people, not including you, or the late Mel Daniels or whoever was on that team, have no clue about the Baltimore Claws.
No.
But it could be a retro
Well, they
t-shirt.
Shouldn't.
Could be a retro. What do you think of that process? A retro t-shirt.
For the Baltimore
The problem
Claws.
Is, I looked up the logo yesterday. It looks like the recycling sign. I don't like it. I don't care for it.
A recycling?
Yeah, you know the recycling logo?
Yeah.
That's what the Baltimore Claws logo looks like to me.
Well, they were pushing for landfills, man. I mean, that's what they were pushing for. Yeah, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, I don't care. I've never heard of the Baltimore Claws until yesterday, and I know why, because of their recycling logo, and you don't care for them.
Yeah, they didn't even play a regular season game. I think they played three exhibition games. They had their draft pick that year. And maybe you can look this up for us, Process, that was a kid named Skip Wise.
Florida State, yeah.
Is that where he went? Yeah, okay, yeah, that's Florida what I was going to ask. And he was supposed to be, he came out early, maybe after his first or second year, and Skip Wise was supposed
to. Might have been Clemson. I'm sorry, might have been Clemson.
Look that up for us, Process. I think Florida State doesn't sound right.
Skip Wise, Clemson, 1974 to 1975.
There you go.
So 1975, so he comes in, and he's the number one pick for the Baltimore Claws, and he's going to revitalize this franchise after they
made. 6'2 point guard.
Yeah. Could not play dead. was absolutely awful, which is one of the reasons Joe Mullaney didn't want to practice twice a day, because this kid was terrible. I don't know if he went on. Did he have any kind of a pro career process? Maybe he hung around for a few years.
He was all ACC. He was a hot guy.
Yeah, he was. He was all AC, all first team ACC. He played 2 years with the Spurs, 1975 and 76.
Okay, so what happened was when the Claws dispersed, because they didn't have any money after those three exhibition games.
After your chip bounced, they were
exactly.
Out of money.
So that means he would have been in the dispersal draft. That means he would have been picked up by the Spurs. But
I apologize. You only played two games with the Spurs.
Yeah, that's more like it. I'm telling you, he was terrible. How he got to be all ACC is belonged to me.
Been player of the year.
He was not. He was just first team all ACC.
Okay.
He was awful. Awful. Wow. Just like everything else associated with the Baltimore Claws, this kid was bad.
Oh, we've got to find a way to get some Baltimore Claws t-shirts. There's no question. No question. All right, Dan, let's take a break, and we will come back. Sports Talk. And we have a guest and coach of Georgetown College,
Chris
Briggs.
Great.
And he's does a terrific job, and we'll talk a little basketball and Dr. Bob Davis. We'll be back.
Good morning. I'm Nick Valvano, the Sports Center Update, brought to you by Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance. Big on commitment. Good news last night. Dana Evans, she was drafted in WNBA draft. Bad news, she was drafted in the second round, falling all the way to the first pick in the second round, sending her to the Dallas Wings. Another card test in the NBA draft waters. David Johnson, he just met the media. You heard that live on 93.9 The Bill. DJ talked about what he heard from NBA scouts that spurred his decision to leave the Cards.
It was good enough for me to enter my name, so I didn't want to kind of throw anything out there, but it was good enough for me, and I'm just going to work on improving my body and shape to get ready for that next level.
More of that said later on in the program. To football, UK commit Jaeger Burton named Mr. Football Kentucky. And in baseball, Reds start the Battle of Ohio tonight with Cleveland, 7-10 first pitch. The Cards, they're in action with a weekend series with UVA. That starts immediately after the drive over on 93.9 The Ville. This is SportsCenter.
You're locked on Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
All right, we are back, and we were just telling some stories off air that were very interesting, but we are back now. Process Dan Issel, Mike Pratt, Sports Talk on ESPN Louisville, and our next guest is Mr. Chris Briggs, the coach of Georgetown College, national championship coach, NAIA. And Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Coach. How are you? Appreciate you guys having me on. Everybody doing good?
In your time at Kentucky as a manager, then a graduate assistant, right?
Yes, sir. Under
Tubby Smith. Terrific. You learned a lot there. Did you ever hear the name Dan Issel?
Absolutely.
We won't say in what context, but
no, definitely heard tons of stories. Obviously, you know, I was a kid. I had his basketball cards growing up. So,
oh, that one hurt. That one.
I hope you still have them because I'll be dead pretty soon, and they'll be worth some money.
When you were at UK, you were very close to Bill Keitley, okay?
Yes, sir.
And did you ever hear the name George Uecker?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Heard plenty of those stories, too.
He was the forerunner of Bill Keitley, and Dan and I loved that guy. And everybody basically was totally in love with this guy. And he was the equipment manager. He was the special guy.
And he didn't... He didn't get to sit in the first row on the bench, first seat on the bench as Keitley did, but Huke was a big part of it. Huke was kind of Coach Rupp's henchman. If Coach Rupp didn't want you on the team, the way you found out about it was you went in the locker room one day and Huechel didn't put your practice equipment in your locker. That's how you found out you were off the team.
Uh-oh.
Well, Chris, you had a short stay in the tournament this year. You got beat in the first round, but you had a really good year. Tell us about your team, who you have coming back, and are you in the portal? Because Dan is he calls me the portal czar, okay? So are you in the portal? Do I need to keep an eye on you?
Man, the portal is something else. It's exploding, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's too much to keep up with. Actually, there's so much going on. It'll make you dizzy just going through all the names and all the players trying to bounce around all over the place. But yeah, appreciate you bringing up that first round loss in the national tournament.
Hey, Mike's been on a roll today. He's been kind of on the macabre side. We had Artis Gilmore on the first hour, and Mike asked him about all his teammates that had passed away. So that so you know where this show's going.
Gotcha. Yep. Well. Yeah, we didn't have the finish to the year we wanted, but it was a different year. Obviously, everybody's been talking about that for so long now with everything going on with coronavirus and all that. So it was different, and We lost a couple guys we were depending on, some older guys, veteran guys. We lost them kind of halfway through due to different circumstances, whether it was academics or things like that. And you know, by the end of the year, we were depending on two sophomores and a freshman, you know, as our three best players. So, you know, we lost on a buzzer beater first round, didn't play well. We missed tons of kind of bunnies around the rim that you got to finish, missed a lot of wide open looks from three. So, you know, I feel like had we played to our potential, we could have made some noise in the tournament. But you know how it goes. You don't get the bounces every day and don't get the bounces every year. And, you know, we struggled in that first round game and they hit a shot with, you know, right at the buzzer. I think it was 4 seconds on the clock and kind of bobbles it and, you know, throws one in, kind of like we saw in the national title game 2016, where they bobbled it and throw it in and beat us in that title game. So, you know, sometimes it's your day, sometimes it's not. So, but I like our talent, our young talent we have coming back, and, you know, definitely looking at some pieces to add, you know, through the portal, through junior college, through high school. We're actually on some high school kids that got a good shot to get, I think, that normally we wouldn't because so many other, you know, bigger colleges are digging through that portal.
Coach, how do you feel about the portal? Do you think that's a good idea, a bad idea? It would seem to me that there's not going to be enough chairs for all these players when the music stops. And so right. I would think that you would have a shot at some of them.
Exactly. That's what we're kind of talking, and we're going through so many names right now, but it's so early in the process for us. We're, you know, obviously in AI school, and we're looking for Division I talent, you know, to be able to win champions like we want to, so win championships like we want to. So, yeah, we're having to wait for that trickle down effect a little bit, but I think absolutely you're going to come to June, July, and even August, and there's going to be players looking around like, uh-oh, where am I going? And, you know, some of these guys, I think, you know, some of these guys that have transferred 2, 3, and 4 times, you know, I think they're going to find out that they're not going to be able to transfer D1 to D1 and play right away because they've already transferred a couple times. And, you know, unless they're graduating, obviously, so that throws another angle at it for the grad transfers. But I think the portal is a good thing for the information to be out there and the kids to have options. But I think with so much of the question mark of who can play right away, who can't, and, you know, kids, you know, it's just exploded from used to, a few years ago, 300-500 people transferring was a lot. Now what are we at, 1,500 almost?
Yeah. You just brought up a great point that I hadn't thought of, but people that have already transferred once, they cannot go into the portal and be eligible immediately, but they could if they came to your school.
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. All right. Exactly. That's very.
And I think there's certain waivers they can try to get. You know, they can, you know, the runoff waiver where they can say, well, the coach didn't renew my scholarship, and you know, a lot of times, you know, they can get that and be able to play right away. So there's different, you know, every situation is different. So it's kind of, you know, waiting to see who's going to get what waiver and who's not going to get a waiver, and you know, just throw a bunch of balls into a hat and see which one falls.
Now, Chris, historically, Georgetown and you currently have had a lot of success with transfers, so that kind of plays right into the portal for you. But you mentioned the high school kids, and
right.
Do you see these high school kids you're talking to now thinking more about you and playing at Georgetown College because of what they may think's coming out of the portal at any time?
I hope so. You know, the thing we always battle is so many kids in high school are so dead set on trying to go D1. And, you know, whether they go to a prep school for a year or a junior college and then try to go D1. And we've had numerous kids that we've brought in here as juniors and seniors that, you know, continually say, man, coach, I should have listened to you out of high school and come here all 4 years. You know, shouldn't have been trying to chase that D1 dream. And, you know, maybe they make it and they don't play quite enough, or maybe they make it and they're on a losing team and, you know, going 8-20 at a D1 school. And, you know, the thing we try to sell here at Georgetown is just, you know, a great small campus family atmosphere, you know, great people here on campus, and then the chance to win a national championship every year. So I think, you know, hopefully we do, you know, and kids, a lot of times I think I feel like they like us, and they feel like maybe I should just go to Georgetown out of high school, but then they have somebody else in their ear saying, oh, I'll go here and go D1. I'll keep trying to go D1. And, you know as well as anybody, you know, D1 is not for everybody. And, and there's certain different levels of D1. I tell kids all the time, if you can go to Kentucky, Louisville, and places like that and have a chance, to play and be on that stage and have a chance to win a title, that's great. But if it's some of the smaller, D1 teams that don't win, it's a lot more fun to come here and, try to go, 28-2 and try to win a national title.
And not only win, but also to get that playing time and get that exposure, because anymore, as you know, Coach, if you can play, the NBA is going to find you. It doesn't matter if it's D1 or high school or NAIA, whatever it is. If you can play, they'll find you.
For sure, for sure. We just had a kid on our 2019 national title team, and then last year, 2020, we were number one overall going into the tournament before it was canceled. But Chris Coffey, out of Louisville, we got him out of high school, developed over 5 years here into the NAIA National Player of the Year, and, had all kinds of agents calling him last year after the tournament was canceled, and got a great agent, got over in Europe. He's playing really well over there in Europe right now, and he's probably going to double or triple his money next year. And, I don't know if there will be an NBA Summer League this year or not, but if there is, I'd say he's probably got a shot of being on one of those teams in Summer League, by his play over in Europe. So, you hit the nail on the head there. We tell kids all the time, if you're good enough, the agents and the pro scouts will find you and we'll check you out.
Chris Briggs has taken his Georgetown Tigers to 8 tournament appearances, 3 trips to the national title game, won it in 13 and 19. So this guy has proven he can coach. And I when I look at that, I always think, how does Chris get a break and find to move up? Because he's capable, Dan, of moving up coaching-wise. And I'm not trying to run you out of Georgetown. I hope people aren't mad. But, look, you can coach the game. You've got a lot of skill sets that will work going up the ladder. And when I look at your record, I think of Dr. Bob Davis. We lost him in the last year, who really was he was the legend there at Georgetown College, right?
For sure, for sure. Coach Davis was an amazing man and an amazing basketball coach, and passed away mid-March, and was a great mentor to me as a young coach. When Coach Osborne left and I was 30 years old, and Coach Davis was here, and he lived here in town, for the last 30 years after he actually left Georgetown to coach at Auburn, but ended up coming back to Kentucky, lived here in Georgetown. And we had a Tuesday lunch group that met basically every Tuesday, and he was a great mentor to me, and definitely a Hall of Fame coach, but even more so a Hall of Fame person and mentor to so many people, like myself and the numerous players that he coached over the years. He came to Georgetown in 1953 and touched so many lives, and the service they had for him at Georgetown Baptist, obviously it was limited due to COVID and all that, but his 2 granddaughters got up and spoke and did a phenomenal job. And his 3 of his former players, Mike Calhoun, Kenny Davis, and Reverend John Owen, got up and it was one of the probably the best funeral service I've ever attended, due to just the people who got up and shared their stories of him and shared what they did for him over the course of their lives and how he made so many people so much better. So definitely missing Coach Davis, and you're absolutely right. He's definitely a legend.
Yeah, that's for sure. Not only in Georgetown or Central Kentucky, but all across the state and all across the country. Coach, do you ever eat at Rodney's?
Yes. It's been a while, obviously, with everything going on this past year. But yes,
I think they were closed for a while, weren't they?
I believe so. I believe you're right.
Sherry and I, we live in Louisville. But before COVID, we would go to Georgetown once a month. Rodney's is, and they're not a sponsor, but
I've never been. It is
a phenomenal restaurant. It's worth the drive to Georgetown. That's for sure.
It is definitely a great little spot, little old house right there north of downtown, and they do a fantastic job. Yes, sir.
Coach Bob Davis was always really nice to me. I had a couple high school teammates that were playing over there, and I would go over, and sometimes I would take like Casey with me. I don't think, Dan, you ever went, but they didn't have anybody to battle you as big as you were, so you took that one off. But he always was so nice. So after we would work out in the old gym there, and it wasn't then like it is now, but the guy was just a terrific, terrific person, I thought. And his tree, which you are in, his coaching tree, Happy Osborne, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Jim Reed.
Jimmy Reed. Now, Dan, you and I played with Jimmy Reed in the Kentucky-Tennessee All-Star game.
Remember that?
Yeah, and I've had had a few cold beers with Jimmy over the years and Kenny Davis. But Jimmy was a terrific coach, too. Bob Davis's coaching tree was as strong as anybody's.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the stories of his practices and how tough he was and hard-nosed he was, and you talk about him being such a nice man and all that. And it's funny to hear some of the stories of when he would get hard on them, get tough on them, and, you know, encourage them to, you know, almost fight in practice. And then I got to know him as he was, you know, in his 80s, you know, late 70s and 80s, and, you know, he's 93 when he passed. And just to listen to him tell the stories of old practices and players and, you know, obviously he coached, he was a Hall of Fame basketball coach, but he also coached track and baseball and football, and he coached everything over here. So, definitely a great man. And, you know, like I said, touched so many lives. And you talk about the coaching tree and even just his former players and everybody around him. You know, it's hard to find people. You don't find people that say bad things about him. He was such a good and wonderful man.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention Mike Calhoun, who coached many years in that coaching tree of Bob Davis. And, you know, he's a legend. There's no question about it, Coach Briggs. No question about it.
Yes, sir.
Well, listen,
Coach Calhoun's still over here on campus. I was just texting with him this morning telling him I was going to be on your show. So he's another one that's over here that's, you know, just a great person and you know, always available and always has some good advice for you.
That's terrific. Good Ohio boy. Cincinnati boy. Yes, sir. I like all those guys. Okay, we appreciate your time, Chris Briggs. And tell Elizabeth we said hi, and I'll quit texting her because I thought that was your number. And the girls, take care of those girls. Enjoy them. And I don't want to see you climbing in my portal. As the czar of the portal, I want you to stay out of the portal. Stay with those high school kids, right?
We'll get a good mix of both. We'll see what we can do.
All right, Coach, buddy. Thanks for your time.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys. Have a great day.
Take care, Chris.
Bye-bye.
How about that? Just, I'm telling you, yes, this guy can coach.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, he'll get his shot.
Well, what bothers me and why I have to bring that up, and, you know, we've got a few minutes here, but there's been jobs that have been open in the world of coaching sometimes. You know, it's what. The perception, not the reality,
right.
When you hire somebody. Yep. You know that. Yep. I mean,
absolutely.
It's that way in the NBA, too.
And politics come in, play into it, and you have a D1 school, and, you know, well, we can't hire, no matter how good a coach he is, how good a person he is, how clean a program he runs, you know, well, we can't hire an NAIA coach to come
exactly.
in here and be head of our program. And there's a lot of mistakes made because of that.
He could coach in the mid-major. He could coach in the Power 5, I think. He would have to work his way up to the Power 5. He's more than deserving of a mid-major coaching job. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went through all the times he's been to the finals and to championships, and I jokingly said they got beat in the first round, but that's what they did. But
he didn't think it was too funny.
Well, he knows me. He knows me, you know, but I've always said that this guy, he just can't get out of Georgetown, and for whatever the reasons you talked about, but the guy needs to have, let's call it a break, a promotion, whatever you want to call it. If he wants,
that's what I was just going to bring up. Maybe he's happy. Maybe he's happy in Georgetown. Maybe that's the exact place for him, and he's happy there, winning 28 games a year. I mean, there's a lot to be said about that. Now, I know he doesn't make millions of dollars a year coaching, but, you know, sometimes it's not about the money. Sometimes it's about being happy, and it sounds like he's happy where he is.
Well, and he's a young fella, so he should have some aspirations and does have aspirations. All coaches do.
For sure.
To move up the ladder at a young age. If he was older and more, not more experienced, but had been around the block a little bit, he might say, okay, I've been around, I've had enough, this is where I'm staying. And that might be the case. But also as a coach, when you take a job, you're not always looking for, well, some people are always looking for the next one, but you always feel challenged after a while. And those challenges might be about moving up the ladder.
Yeah, for sure.
Last night, process, to pay attention here because I know you're an Eagles guy. Our NFL guy.
I'm keeping an eye on it.
Okay.
By the way, eight left-handed pitchers with perfect games. Just saying.
Let's go back to that. And I said I was way high. I think I said 40-some.
Yep.
23 perfect games.
And how many lefties?
Eight. And two Hall of Fame lefties.
Who?
Randy Johnson and Sandy Koufax.
I love Sandy Koufax, man. He and Don Drysdale, what a combination of pitching. Lefty and righty. Koufax, University of Cincinnati, on a basketball scholarship from New York. Huh?
I know he threw a no-hitter against the Cubs. Was his perfect game against the Cubs?
I do not know. I'll have to look into that.
Okay. All right.
The point I was going to throw out.
Yeah, you were watching TV last night.
I was watching TV. Baseball was bad. Basketball was bad. So I turned to ESPN, 30 for 30, on the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddy Ryan, who still lives, I believe, up in Shelbyville, he's in a facility up there. He's, you know, I think he's 90 now. But he had
Ryan passed away years ago.
Oh, did he? Okay.
A long time ago.
Okay. He was still alive when he did this show. That's how old that is. But he had a farm up there. He was into horses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever meet him?
Yep. One time. That? Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I don't think it was thoroughbreds. I think it might have been show horses. Maybe.
Oh, really?
No, it was thoroughbreds.
That's what I thought. Yeah, but you know, you're the thoroughbred guy. You're the
czar.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead. So, but the Monsters of the Midway.
Yeah, that's the old one. The new one was the shuttle, the shuffle. The Super Bowl Shuffle Bears.
Yeah. But that wasn't 85.
Yes, it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Super Bowl Shuffle, yeah.
Okay.
And it went through all these different guys, and they've had some issues with some guys after their career. But it was interesting. What was very interesting to me and why I mentioned Buddy Ryan was that he and Ditka, the head coach, didn't get along.
No.
Did not get along. And Buddy Ryan would have his – defense on his side, his defensive players, and of course Ditka had the offensive guys on his side. And unlike now, they had contact scrimmages back then. I mean, it was the starting defensive team against the starting offensive team. Now, maybe Sweetness, he had a red shirt on.
Yeah.
You couldn't hit him.
Right.
But there were clips where they were cracking him too. And, you know, 12 years in the NFL's all-star running back. And they're tackling this guy.
Look, man, I'm throwing like padding all over Sweetness, okay? Because you go, what do you have on this offense? You got Jim McMahon and others. I mean, the offense was Walter Payton.
Absolutely.
34. Don't touch 34.
That's right. And that's how the progression of this story was. It was that. And then they brought McMahon in, who was, you know, he was out there someplace, but he could throw the ball, would change the plays at the line. That would P.O. Ditka. And he would tell Ditka, Ditka would get on him, and he said, I just said, Coach, that wasn't there. I saw it this way. And he was successful. He got away with it. But Sweetness, 12 years taking the hits that he took and being the primary man in that offense, and to see the hits he was taking in practice, an amazing career.
I mean, he never ran out of bounds. Lower his shoulder and run into somebody rather than step out of bounds.
He was a smaller version of Jim Brown. Jim Brown, you know, he just, when he was with the Browns, of course, I liked the Browns and followed him. He took on all comers, too. He never stepped out of bounds.
Yeah.
Sweetness, in my mind, is the greatest running back there ever was.
Who was?
Sweetness.
Yeah.
That's okay. To me, he's the guy. He's the best of all time.
I would put him up there, of course. I mean, you had Jim Brown and
Barry Sanders, I mean, Barry Sanders. Eric Dickerson. Those guys are up there, Emmett, but
I'll give you one who challenges all of them. Now, he didn't have a very long career because of injury.
Gale Sayers.
I knew you were going there.
Gale
and you're
Sayers.
Right.
And you're Gale right. Sayers, if he'd been healthy and played a little longer, he'd been right in that conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was fun to watch. And,
you know, he was one of those early guys that could put a shake and bake on you and leave your cleats and you someplace else, right? I remember Gale Sayers, absolutely. Well, Dan, we got through a second week here, man. We had some great guests. We've got some people lined up for next week.
Monday morning, Tom Hammond, former SEC and NBC announcer, will join us to talk basketball and horse racing.
Horse racing, we hope.
For you know, years, Tommy was the go-to guy for horse racing at NBC. So Tommy Hammond will join us on Monday.
And we're efforting some other people, so you have to listen next week to find out who we have as guest. And this has been Sports Talk. Dan Issel, Mike Pratt, ESPN, Louisville, 680-1057.
We are so proud to have brought the price relief to the people of Louisville that they deserve.
Wendy Canavan, Vice President of Genesis Diamonds, reflecting on Genesis Diamonds' first decade in Louisville.
We have shaken up the marketplace because our prices are incredibly lower.
The fact is, before Genesis, everyone here paid more.
Diamond prices were higher. It was kind of like there was a standardized pricing. Everybody charged it and the customers bought it.
But now you get access to the world's finest diamonds at True Direct Importer prices.
They're amazed when they see how far their dollar goes at Genesis Diamonds and the beauty and quality of our diamonds.
Is this the year you get engaged or celebrate a milestone anniversary? Get the value you deserve at Genesis.
Customers say, I've heard your radio commercials. I can honestly tell you it's true. We hear it every day. We never lose a customer over price.
Genesis Diamonds, proud to be a part of this amazing city going into our 11th year with tens of thousands of satisfied customers. Shelbyville Road Plaza.
ESPN Louisville is your home again this year for Cincinnati Reds baseball. Our next broadcast is tonight at 7 as the Reds take on the Indians, and it's right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
If you're using a shredding company, did you know that your confidential documents can be trucked as far away as 100 miles before they're destroyed?
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Bet River Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.